All right, welcome everybody. welcome to the show. I'm here, of course, with the famous, or soon to be famous, if not already, Mr. Ben Tanklin. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you? How's everything going on tonight? It's Wednesday night. I'm never streaming. I get to watch you, so
Nice.
Here we are.
I didn't even know Wednesday's your night off, but I did want to have you on the show. As I mentioned to you, I've been a lurker for a while in the Tanklin sphere, and I like your show, man. I was telling you, I really like you. You have a really great digital set. Like, it's really cool. I had messed with them for a while, but I didn't have a custom one. Yours is all customed out. It's really cool. I like it.
I appreciate it. You know, and what's funny is I want to put a nice wall behind me. My brother's got a sawmill. He's really gifted. He's a craftsman, nice. My brother-in-law. And have, like, some more personal stuff, because I see guys that have – their real lives behind them. And I like that, because you could see a piece of me. And then I'm a seasonal guy. During deer season, I can put a deer head behind me.
Cool.
You know, you can put up different things. You know, I'm not big on flags or whatever, but I'll see. I've got a lot of plans, but we can get into that later. I'm glad you lurked. And I used to always enjoy it when you'd come in and say, like, "Ben Lurkin, how are you?" Because I watch your show, and I've got to make more of a point to get into the chats and say hi, because they're my people too.
Absolutely.
I like your content, the way you curtail, the way, you know, I'm sure the discussion's going to go all about content, the type of content that you like when you're not streaming. I know what I like to watch. And, you know, it's good to be here, and I appreciate you letting me come on here. And hello, everybody in the chat.
Hello, chat. Absolutely. I hope chat's having a good time. I hope they're having a good night.
Happy New Year.
Oh, of course. I stepped right over that one, huh? Yeah. Happy New Year, man. Welcome to 2025, right? It's not alcohol, but cheers all the same. It looks like alcohol.
Yeah, I put water into my trophy husband mug.
Nice. You know, I'm already inclined to ask you about the hunting thing, because that's pretty cool. You're a bow hunter, dude. That's really fucking awesome.
Yes.
How's that gone this year? You said it was buck season recently, or deer season, I suppose. Yeah. So, did you get anything?
It's deer season. I've got 6 does in the freezer.
Wow, nice.
Tagged out. And I've passed a lot of mature does with a muzzleloader and with our mature bucks with a – when I say mature, I mean – maybe 3.5 years old. But if I'm using a rifle or a muzzleloader, they need to be, you got to earn it. You know, I'm not going to shoot a big 8-point buck that walks in front of me because I already have one. And a buck is, you know, especially if you know that he's going to create more bloodline at that young age, let him go. Now, if I would have had a bow on me, I would have stuck it, because I've only shot very small. It's hard to hunt with a bow. Like,
yeah, imagine.
Just this week, I liver shot a doe in the wind, and it was a far shot, high liver shot, and I didn't get her until midnight. I didn't track her because that would just push her. So I went and looked at the arrow. I knew it was a bad shot. I looked at the arrow. I took a photo, sent it to some guys that are more experienced than me, and they're like, "Yeah, that's liver. You need to back out and just come back after dark." And wow. I backed out for 3 hours, went back in, found her after midnight, and in the freezer.
Cool. So, I mean, I guess if it's snowy on the ground, you just see a blood trail, right? Where it's trying to.
Yes. And no snow, but I get a headlamp, and it can get frustrating. But you kind of look at your map, and you know that a wounded animal is going to go to water.
Mm.
And I've been on this land for, this is my 6th season, and I know kind of the travel corridors. So I had an idea, and I just went patiently, found her. And, you know, it hits you in the feels, because just earlier this year, I put one right through the pump house. Perfect shot. You could just take the heart and look at the broadhead hole.
Wow.
This one, you know, not so much. But I respect the animal so much, you know. I don't care how many, and I say kill. I do not say harvest a deer, because, you know, killing is part of life. Death is part of life. You killed that animal. I didn't grow it. I didn't tend to it. I went out hunted it, killed it. I hunt from a saddle a lot. Free Corps says recurve or compound. I have a compound right now. I've had 4 surgeries on the shoulder, but recurve is on the books. It's so, you know, it's kind of the natural way you go.
Yeah.
One of these days, I'll be out there with a flannel shirt and a recurve and a pipe. See, you got to get them 10 yards. If they ain't 10 yards, you don't need to be in the wood. There's purity spiralers everywhere, even in hunting. Wow. I wasn't calling you that, Free Corps. I'm just talking about if you can't shoot one with the self bow, one you make yourself.
Oh, wow. You know,
that's not for me. It's 2025, Jack.
You know what Tim says about it? He says that white people purity spiral because it helps preserve our race, is why we're still here. It might be a good insight as to why we were all like, you got purity spiralers even in hunting.
Well, you know, they protect that traditional art, but you ask them, when'd you kill your first deer? Most of them, 10, 11, with a 243 rifle, right?
Mm.
I say, whatever gets you in the woods. I want to sponsor a camp next year for a lot of the guys. And I'm like, well, the best way to get into it is crossbows. They're not expensive. They're fast. They're accurate. They're not as fun as going out and shooting a bow. That's more of a mental exercise that's unbelievable. Archery in itself. I compete in 3D archery. I don't know if I'll be able to do it this year after my name's been out there, but we'll see. And it's therapeutic. Just shooting a target in your backyard, you're breathing, your posture, you're in the moment. You're not worried about the latest psyop, the latest terror attack.
You can't be your right.
Bills,
you have
your
to
bills.
Focus.
No, you're just right there. You can hear the birds. You can hear your breath. It's amazing, and I recommend it for everybody.
It makes sense, man. I mean, that's what's lost in our men, I think, a lot, is that, like, real tactical, what's the word I'm looking for? Tactile experience of life, you know, where it involves the actual real-life things. It's not simulated. It's actually real. And, you know, you feel, like you said, you feel the elements, you feel the wildlife, you feel your own blood and your own heart pumping. And then, you know, it is something that's missing. Have you ever got involved in like coaching the youth for this stuff? Because I think that's a massive thing that maybe that's a kind of a way to do it. Like get the young men kind of doing it, rite of passage stuff. What do you think? You've done that?
I haven't coached hunting. I'm totally into mentoring hunters. I want to have like a white power deer camp.
Hell yeah.
I'm pretty racially aligned for anyone who doesn't know me. I'm not going to sit here and curse and shout. But I used to coach high school football, man.
Hmm.
One of the kids I coached, his son, well, since his son is the captain of the defense for the Texas Longhorns.
Wow. Cool.
And yeah, I coached some dudes that played some serious ball, and I taught troubled kids alternative education. A lot of black kids that didn't have dads, even down in South Florida. I knew right then that was my real up close look at how these guys were raised, and waking kids up at 7 a.m. Let's go, man. Get up. Their mom answers the door. They're still in bed. I'm picking them up on the way to school. Oh, there's Coach B, you know?
So I think I skipped over that step of like, maybe I should give you a moment to introduce yourself, tell everybody what you're about, because I think I skipped over that. I was so excited to hear about the hunting part. So maybe let me go ahead and full screen.
Hey, it's hunting. I get buck fever.
Awesome. Yeah, of course. Let me give you a full screen.
Well, what I always like to say is, you know, when you're in your neighborhood, if you live in the suburbs and you see the guy that mows his lawn, he's a regular dude. I'm not a fanatic. I'm retired. The military says I'm not even allowed to take money at a toll booth. I can't work. I wanted to do something. I was watching live streams. I'm a Devin Stack purist. If I miss a stream, I'm upset. And on Saturday nights, I used to stream every night, and I feel bad. So A lot of guys through my, I was in the Army. I'm retired, obviously. Been in downrange Iraq and Afghanistan.
Wow.
Was a tank commander, you know, gunner through the ropes up to being a tank commander. And then a striker mobile gun system commander, which is like a eight-wheeled variant that's got a 105-millimeter tank turret, you know.
Damn.
And then, you know, weapons squad leader once ours went down, because we did a lot of stuff on foot. And we would just sit around and talk about life, real life. And guys come and visit me that I went downrange with. They come to my house. They visit me. We go have breakfast. We sit in my back porch and we talk. And I don't know how many times they said, you should get a podcast. You should do a podcast. And I always wanted to. And I'm like, I'm not just going to be some other guy with a podcast. And they're like, no, just like talk the way you talk here. Mm. And I said, well, you know, it's kind of hard to do. And I watched, you know, I'm a Goyim TV guy. I watched GTV and another stream. I didn't miss Handsome Truth streams. And I laughed my ass off. And I decided I would start streaming. I bought a cheap laptop, a cheap camera, which I'm still using, and just a bare bones setup. And I went after it. And I was streaming on Rumble and Odyssey. And I would send my streams to HT. And he said, well, hey, would you want to stream on GTV? And I was like, oh, no, I've got to get reps in, man. I've got to get reps. You know, that's how I believe. You've got to get reps. It's a mental exercise, muscle memory, learning your routine, learning how to, you know, glean the information that you think is critical, and then speaking on it like you know everything about it. It's not you don't wake up with that skill. Being instructing in the military, you're constantly instructing. It helps because you might get a new weapon upgrade and you get like a little 48-hour class, and then you go and you got to teach like a subject matter expert. This is going to save your life, kid, you know. They've got to trust you. Yeah. and it kind of comes with the territory. But so I started streaming, and you know, it was really fun but very tough. I'm a slow growing stream, but I prefer it that way because I go out of my way to let everyone know I'm not really provocative. I'm not real spicy. I'm trying to watch my language. You know, I don't do anything viral. I try to talk about real life, and I'm big on self-improvement. I started streaming at 311 pounds. I weighed 234 right now.
Excellent. That's what's up, man.
You know, my walk around weight used to always be about 220, but I played college football, and you know, I've always been kind of a bigger guy, but I'm 49. I need to think about my grandchildren being a good example to them. What do they think about grandpa? He's a fat slob, but I'm telling them to exercise and to go outside and not to do this. I'm a big on show me, don't tell me. So the Ben Tanklin Project is to me what the product of really living, breathing, you know, people say white power. What is white power to you? You know, you got to love yourself before you can love your people.
Yeah.
And you got to show the people you claim to love and care about and want to protect and defend that you are going to love yourself, give yourself more, not viability, but just extend your life, become better shape, be a living, breathing example of what you're preaching, you know? And my background with the outdoors, I'm going to have recorded content that's going to show people from the beginner to who's never picked up a firearm. I know I don't talk about those. I don't really show them. I guess every once in a while I have, but for hunting purposes, I'm going to stick with muzzleloader and archery equipment because black powder won't get you anyone in trouble, and neither will archery equipment, as well as fishing. I mean, and camping, whether you're prepared to camp or, oh crap, my car broke down. This is what I have, and I need to keep myself warm and off the road and be safe. So it's going to be fun. That's coming down the line, but and here I am.
It's cool.
You know, we're coming up on a year in February, around the 16th.
So you started a year ago.
Yeah, February 16th was my first stream on a bigger platform.
You know why that's a really good mark to hit?
What's that? Why?
A year. Because 98% of podcasts die off within a year. So if you've crossed that year threshold, you're probably going to keep trugging along, you know? So that's a great mark to know. You got it, man. You got what it takes, you know? That's really cool. And I want to say also, the weight loss thing, I went through that too. I lost about 60 pounds. I still got a good 40 or so to go. But, you know, that's white power is getting control of yourself, you know, getting control of yourself, starting to get your shit straightened out. And, you know, it can happen, man. A lot of things, like you mentioned, you think you said you had an injury. That can put people back. You know, that can set people back hard. Like, I think maybe some of the younger guys don't know. Like, you know, wait till you get hurt real bad. Like, you know, see what happens, dude. You know, you slow down a lot. And you know what I mean?
You know, the things I walked away from would blow your mind. If you saw the pictures of the vehicles.
Wow.
And what put me down where I really got fat was a training accident in Hohenfels, Germany. I just jumped off the Striker to go talk to my platoon sergeant, and they have these molehills, but the grass is all one height. Mm. And I hit real early, and it caused me to do like a scorpion, look like an idiot. But I broke my shoulder blade, kneecap, and it set me back. I didn't change my diet, but I just kept ballooning. I couldn't do anything. And when they ran my blood, they said, well, wow, we looked at your history. And I was one of those guys that my thyroid had been pretty much not working since 07. Wow. But I could outrun it, outwork it. And then, man, it just caught up to me. And I got fat. And then, you know, I drank alcohol. I tried to drink Germany dry. Yeah, I was single. It was a good time. I want to go back. I got out of Germany right as they were bringing all the refugees in. They were closing down all these bases, Ansbach, Schweinfurt, Baumholder. They moved people out of Heidelberg. They're just closing them all down. Freiburg, home of Elvis, Elvis Barracks. And they started just moving in communities of brown people. Do not jive with the German folk.
Yeah.
And the German men are incensed. We would get you don't see it on TV. Every weekend somewhere in Germany, there is a town square full of ethnic German men that are angry. And yes, they carry clubs and they go out there and they get rowdy and they shout and they yell. And because we would get bulletins every weekend, avoid this town because of this protest, always immigration protest. This was in 2012, 2013. I can only imagine what it's like now because I hear the horror stories. Angela Merkel, before she left, telling young ladies to wear longer skirts, to not dress provocatively.
It's so messed up because, like, No, it's a great point, man. Our ladies, if they're feeling intimidated, they can learn to carry. They can do a lot of things, right? In Germany, man, like, they can't even carry pepper spray. It's insane. Like, that. The same in France. It's like, wow, man, you really want to just make these women to be like victims? We set them up that way. That's a really horrifying shame that they do our people like that. And then all of our men are just like, I don't know, unable to set that back or not, you know, permit that to go on.
The gang rape, they'll corral a woman into an alley or a hedgerow. They'll corral her, and it happens probably every day. While we're streaming, it's going to happen here in America.
Yeah.
Some white woman is going to be raped by an immigrant, an invader. Not an immigrant, an invader.
Absolutely.
I remind my audience every night that I enjoy it. I look forward to streaming. I love going through current events. I like showing funny clips. But I like to remind them all of the horrible things that are going to happen to white people at the hands of non-whites while we share this time together every night. Just to keep it in the mindset of, you know, be about it. There are all types of strategies. There's a diversity of strategies you can use. I like to do certain things other people don't like to do. Other people like to do types of activism I don't like to do. The best activism is the people that you love and trust you, your family, your lifelong friends. Do you know they understand how you communicate? They know your heart. They know you're not a wild radical, and you can tell them why you developed this worldview, and you can show them data. And I think if you can't do that, because they're just bleeding heart liberals, you got to work on your communication skills and maybe find a different outlet. But I talk about mowing your own yard.
Absolutely,
before you go and mow your neighbors, you know.
That's the best place to start, because like you mentioned, they know you're not like a person that's having these views coming from a place of evil or nastiness. They know that it's actually a sincere concern that motivates these views. That's really helpful. It's really convincing. And like you said, I mean, if you educate yourself on it, you really can convince them at least to look at it that way. Maybe they don't always, you know, adopt your worldview, but at least if they can understand it, and when they see other people with it, well, then they at least understand it and they don't push back necessarily, which is helpful. That's people that are either converted or at the very least they're passively accepting of this information and what it means.
Oh, 100%. And where I myself, I'm not one to collaborate, even break bread with non-whites, you know, specifically black people. And Arabs, Indians, Hispanics, brown people. Speaking of, but I believe like one of my favorite guys who can really just talk. I love Iman Smoko.
Smoko's
cool. He speaks about a diversity of strategies. I believe there needs to be pro-white separatists and pro-black separatists at a table somewhere, collaborating and working together to name the non-Jew, to awaken people to the Jewish problem, more importantly, Jewish supremacy and how they achieved it and how they sustain it.
Yeah.
And that's just not my window. And so I was a civic nationalist like everyone else. I was a MAGA bro at first.
Same. Yeah.
That's why I'm never going to hold someone's feet to the fire that isn't there yet. I had a really good friend. He spoon-fed me. He gave me books to read. And I never bought into anything until I kind of withdrew from all social media right after I retired and just went into my own research area. I was not on social media. Hell, I watched Steve Bannon, who's a Shabbos goy to the max.
Still, yeah.
But he does have current events that, you know, you can glean information. And I started watching Red Pills. And Devin Stack.
Yeah.
Devin Stack blackpilled me to Jewish supremacy more than anyone else.
Mm.
And that's when I found Goyim TV and started watching hard-hitting documentaries that take your breath away. And then going, let me try to fact-check that. I'm not going to take it. I've already known I've been lied to my whole life. I don't want to just accept this at face value. And then it just all adds up. And now in AI, you know, math does. I like math. Math is pretty much universal, and it's not really deceitful. And math doesn't add up for like the hollow hoax. And just simple things like that. I just went further and further in. And as I seen more violence, when I came back from Germany, I didn't recognize the country. I lived in Columbus, Georgia. You got to get 20 minutes out of town or out of Fort Benning just to get to where there aren't bars on every window of every business and home.
Wow.
And there were shootings when I was out doing volunteer work at the Salvation Army, feeding people on Thanksgiving. There'd be shootings right out in the block. And the same thing. I would go and tutor at an inner city school. And I've always been about volunteerism. If I'm in a community, I want to help that community. And I wasn't black-pilled to where I'm not going to teach this little Negro how to read. One of the saddest stories I ever saw was a black kid who got in trouble for stealing food because he was going to take it home to his big brother who didn't get that extra snack between lunch and to go home. But you would, on our way to this school, men, working age men, would be out smoking cigarettes and drinking, leaning on their fences. Mm. While their kids couldn't feed themselves. And it enraged me because a child is innocent.
Yeah. Well, stuff like that will red pill you on race real quick, man. I mean, it's that stuff you see in real life. Like, documentaries and the influence of certain commentators is really helpful, but it's when you see it up close and personal. I mean, especially that anti-white hate, you know, like, you know, when you get a real personal taste of it, you're like, oh, okay, wow. You know, it hits you in a certain way that's just, it's not conceptual. You know deep down that they hate you, and they hate you for being white. Not even for, yeah. Like, they might hate you for other things, too. They might hate that you're Christian. They might hate where you're from. But the core of it is that, like, white race. You know, that's what they, you can like, almost, like, taste it. You know, it's almost like a metallic taste in your mouth. You know, it's crazy.
Yes. Low-key, they hate you. That's one of my favorite Devin Stack quotes. I hate to go back to him. I'm not trying to glaze him too much. But I also live where I went to high school was in an Indian nation in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Even people that looked like me were members of that tribe. Mm. And, oh, yeah. And, like, if there was an emergency, my mother cut herself. I took her to the emergency room. They wouldn't treat her because we are white.
Ooh.
Not even a drop. And now that's changed as far as that health care goes. But I had to drive my poor little mother, you know, as a young guy,
wow,
another 36 miles to get her treated. Everything I did was pretty good for a white boy. Meanwhile, those guys would graduate and go work at the chicken plant and drink Milwaukee's Best and live in a free house that had shit trash all over their yards. And I made straight A's and went on to college. And then I went to the military. Pretty good for a white boy. And when I come home, now there's casinos everywhere. And these people are rich. And money buys influence with rural counties because those guys don't come from money. And and so now what you think is a based red state is actually another corrupt place where I'm a minority.
That's
in the McGirt decision. You know about the McGirt decision?
No, what is that?
Okay, so U.S. Supreme Court decision, the McGirt case, that gave the tribal land basically back to the natives. So let's say you are here. I am Night Nation Review. I'm a cop, and that car's swerving. Oh, he's drunk. It's 2 a.m. You light him up. Guy's drunker than Cooter Brown. Drugs in the car. Indian. Feather not dot. And you got to call a tribal police. He's going to a tribal court system, and if he's tried, it's got to be in a federal court. The kicker is every criminal that was locked up in the state court. I'm talking murderers, rapists, pedophiles, violent criminals, all had to be retried at the taxpayer's dime in a federal court. Trust me, I had jury duty that summer. It never ended.
Wow.
And of course, there's an FBI agent involved in every one. Where you go and you see this piece of crap, he's been convicted, and then you see some slick attorney talking to you about whether or not putting on your blinker to pull over instigates premeditation. You know, all kinds of stupid Jewish legalese. And I'm like, get me out of this. So all you got to do if you're ever on a federal trial is say you have an inherent, what is it? I have a bias against the FBI.
Nice. I didn't know that. That's a good trick though, man.
You'll be removed. Okay. I've been talking my life away here.
No, it's good, man. We needed a background for sure. And this is interesting. I'd not known which exact ruling it was, but you're saying that this actually gave them the land back. This is that what this is? This is
2020. Yes, but like I'm a property owner. I still have my property, like a hunting land, all that. They can't take that. But yet the federal government still owns the national forest. As a matter of fact, they used that as a threat to Oklahomans. We will build abortion clinics on the national forest land.
Whoa.
Because, wow. Like, believe it or not, the tribes do not believe in abortion. They don't allow their members that are employees to use medical cannabis, nothing like that. And whenever that came down, now they want to buy the national forests as well. It's crazy. Oklahoma is kind of fun because you also have all the energy money. Mm. You have tribal casino money, energy money, and it's at a head where, what do you think those guys want to do? They want to build a casino. Why can't we?
Right. Didn't they get into pot too? I heard that they're getting into the whole pot thing.
Right. I think it's tribe by tribe. I know where I live. No. Mm. But they have the land for it. They have the money. Casino money is, we're talking, you know, how these aren't just the little casinos like you see on some TV show that's on every gas station. No, they have giant casinos with 5 golf courses, you know, 7 restaurants, 2 buffets, 2 movies, big casinos, you know, millions of dollars nightly. And that money, it just worries me that that's in our state. Not to mention the gambling issues. I see the same. I live in a nice neighborhood. I still have the rural hunting property, but my wife grew up on a mountain. Bless her heart. She never lived with a regular city water. It was well water and filtered lake water. Yeah.
She's always awesome. On this wants to know. She asks, do the Jews run all the casinos on tribal lands? It's a good question. I don't know the answer. Do you?
No, they don't. I'm sure there's advisories, but it's the tribe. I'm sure they have to have experts. Now, who runs their security? I don't know. But I know that they are self-sustaining to the point to where only 11% of their funding comes from the federal government. But they do use that as a linchpin to make sure their tribal members, you know, don't get off the narrow. Don't smoke cannabis. And you know me, I'm just out here. I don't care. I'm doxxed. No, everyone knows who I am. They know all about me. I went to high school in this county. I walk right by them. I don't have any, you know, I'll wear this hat and when this pin, it doesn't bother me. And it doesn't bother them either because they're separatists at heart. And so am I.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting state still because it is sort of half and half, isn't it? It's like a big chunk of Oklahoma that's Indian land, right?
Yes. But now the population is mostly white. Mm. But the craziness of the tribal politics is they get to run their own governments and their people. They have all this land. They build all these homes. But the feds can still smack them anytime they want. And the state police can hem them up, but they just have to hand them over.
Mm.
And of course, Oklahoma's in trouble. There's casinos, and then there's a pot shop on every corner.
Wow.
Every corner. Which I'm not a purity spiraler. I believe medical cannabis. So I just don't – here I go. This is how I do on my show,
please,
too.
Please.
If I had raw milk right here and I took it, it's based, right?
Yeah.
Because it has all the natural stuff that your body needs. Now, your body has an endocannabinoid system. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you where cannabinoids come from? Ooh. Cannabis.
Yeah, cannabis plant chemicals, right? CBD. Yes. THC.
Yes, and CBDs. Yeah. And so cannabinoids, for your body to run optimally, you need to have your endocannabinoid system firing. So no, don't sit around and smoke weed all day. That's not good for anybody. It's not a productive lifestyle. But if somebody would rather use something natural to, I mean, there's everything. You can put it on your knees. You got a topical lotion. You go in, put it on your knees. Your knees feel a lot better than putting Voltaren on your knees. And so I am. But it is completely crazy because there's so many dispensaries and so many casinos.
Well, it sedates out the populace, right? It really seems to do that. I mean, I'm with you on the medical thing. I mean, I think there's some people do use that as a loophole for sure. And I say maybe even a lot of people do. But there are definitely a certain part of the population where, like, look, if they're not going to be finding some way to use something like that, then it's going to be fucking opiates. They're going to be on goddamn Vicodins and fucking oxycodones, and that shit's like 100 times worse, you know? Like, neither are ideal, but, you know, it's kind of a pick-your-poison situation, you know? The alternative is just, what, sit around in pain all day, you know what I mean? So I'm with you on that.
Painful. And, you know, get yourself better. Mm-hmm. If you're fat, your knees are going to feel better when you lose weight. You don't, if you're not fat, if you're a little bit big, like, man, I put on, before you know it, 17 pounds. Your back's going to feel it if you're not lifting while you're doing that. It's just the little maintenance. But one thing I can't kick is nicotine. Because nicotine is also natural. Nicotine's natural.
Yeah.
But like, I have lung damage as it is from chlorine gas. Is IEDs in Mosul.
Wow. Yeah, please, and tell me about that. I really want to know. I always love the first-person experiences. Anything that's not, like, too traumatic, I mean, I don't want to ask you to get fucked
I don't,
up. But,
I actually never tell a war story except to when one of my guys or one of the dudes comes around. But Mosul was crazy. Mosul was like a city. Think of a city the population size of Philadelphia. High-rise buildings. It's also the Sunni headquarters and the Ba'ath Party headquarters. Not Tikrit, but Mosul. And in 2008, it was a pretty rough outing. We had about 3,500 soldiers, U.S., plus we had our Iraqi counterparts, which were garbage. Mm. It was the Wild West. It did not prepare you for. I wasn't prepared to see dudes in track suits run out at a tank.
Wow.
You know,
is that because they got IEDs on, or just because they're fucking crazy?
No, I'm talking with the RPK, with a damn RPG.
Wow.
With an AK-47, bringing a gun to a tank fight.
That's insane.
You know, but I always used to tell my dudes, look, man, there's a curfew. We're telling these people when they can drive, where they can drive. You come into my convoy, you're getting lit up. There's signs that say so. 100 meters back or you're getting shot. Mm-hmm. How long can a people take that? Now, for me, I didn't believe in the I don't care about the missions. I believed in going out and coming back and taking care of the dudes. I actually got back in the military during my break and after my break in service, because I knew where I was going to go and I had a lot of angst in me. But you know, there's nothing creepier than hearing the call to prayer when it's not supposed to be on. I learned about the culture of, you talk about low key hate. They don't low key hate you. topple the statue. They love you. You're there 1 week later. You are the son of Satan, the great Satan, and your occupiers, and they hate you. And they're ready to fight. They resolve arguments sometimes with a gun. Mm. I saw guys screaming at each other, and some of the older dudes were, I'm like, what's going on there? Oh, they're probably haggling about the price of that yard bird, some chicken. You know? And we were pretty much, we had to go with these things called Thunder Reaper missions, which were violence of action. And, you know, you turn to your guys and you're like, hey, man, today's the day your life's going to change. All right. Just do your job. Just work. Just, we're a top gun. We're the top gun team. Let's go and let's just do it. And then yeah. It goes on. And when you're in combined arms and you're listening to the radio, you hear a lot of bad shit too. In Mosul, I was in a tank probably the first 2 to 3 months I was there. And there was a lot of guys on the ground that were doing some crazy stuff. And I just have the guys, hey, keep it on intercom only. And, but I remember the day, like our stuff had come back to Fort Hood, Texas. We're unpacking it. And some young soldier, he walks up to me. Hey, Sergeant, you know, hey, Private, how are you? And, I was always I was a pretty fun guy.
Yeah.
And, he said, did you hear that Bridge 1 in Mosul got taken out by a V-bid? And I said, what does that have to do with you or me? Are you going back to Mosul anytime soon?
Explain V-bid for us civvies that don't get okay. the...
V-bid is a vehicle-borne IED. Ooh. Car bomb.
Ooh, yeah.
They're
oh,
big. Yeah, oh, wow. We've had them shake. I mean, they shake the ground. And I crossed Bridge 1 hundreds of times, you know?
Wow.
I didn't care. I didn't care a bit. I was never going to go back to that country, but God willing. And I know some of the guys that stayed in that regiment went right back to Mosul. Oh, and they got fucked up too, because, you know, you'll be sitting there and you just take mortars. Our Christmas Day, 2008, some surgeon was over by the airfield off duty eating Fruit Loops. You know, don't eat. Watch out for Fruit Loops. My dad called them Queerios.
That's a good one.
He said they eat each other in the box. My dad was racist as fuck. But nice. And a rocket, you know, lucky shot. Rocket just hit right in his little place where he stayed. And you learn really quickly when you get hit with IEDs and you're fine, but your guys aren't. And you don't understand, and you look down, and there's shrapnel, like in a Humvee, man. Shit, that's your Humvee's in pieces, and you just kind of like you're punch drunk. We would make some videos. Oh, here we go again. Blah 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 blah. You know, and then we'd roll out and put it away. Then I watched him for the first time years later, and it was hard to watch because it was, all right, family, here we go again. The south side of Mosul, it sounded drunk. Mm. And I wondered, did we all sound like that? Sure enough, guys were just, but you're back out. You come in, they ask you, they'll say like carpet, apple, chair, saddle, lamp.
Why? They're just trying to test your memory, or why are they asking?
And then they'll go over it, then they'll start checking you out. Yep, you're right. And then as long they'll keep going back to those words. If you can repeat them after your little checkup, return to duty. And I don't want to sit on. You don't want to sit around.
They're just trying to make sure you didn't get a concussion, right? Because they're trying to make sure you didn't get, like, brain blasted.
Yes. And every time you have to go, you're in the system. So that's the Army's. If even if one's only 25 meters from you, you've got to get checked out. Mm-hmm. And so in my time of being in the kind of right wing, you know, I was with some Proud Boys. And of course, mm-hmm. as soon as Enrique took over, the guys, we were all in the South. We left them and had our own thing going with no leaders, just a bunch of dudes getting together. But anytime I'd hear someone that was a veteran out there and they would be telling some gruesome stuff, it'd be like a national meet. Like there'd be people from all over. Mm. And I would start walking around and getting close, and they would shut right up. And I'd always, because I mean, I would hear it, I would see it in chats. And at that point, when I first got out, I could still get DD 214s pulled. I'm like, that guy's lying. I hate it. So I just keep a lot of that stuff. You know, it changed me. My brain, like, I would love to be on two. I'd love to have a motorcycle. I can't. My balance, you know, for a couple of years, I walked with a cane because I couldn't balance. I would fall weekly. I knocked myself out. And through, you know, just taking ownership of my own body, getting out, walking in the woods, I haven't, my cane is the other property in a closet somewhere. I don't take any of I left the army on 22 pills a day.
Damn.
I take zero.
I've been
drink
there,
water,
man,
and wipe out.
With the walking thing and the cane and all that, man, I don't really want to get into too much detail and give enemies kind of a tip on how to fuck with me. But, yeah, I will say, like, I did damage my leg pretty bad, and I was walking around with a cane for a while and all this. It sucks. It really, really sucks. And I'm glad you chucked that thing to the wayside, because, you know, you definitely don't want that to become permanent if you can help it. But, man, you know, it's I'm glad you made it out of there. That's a fucking – that looks like hell, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And you know, when I was in Mosul, I reenlisted, and I have to go to a certain unit to reenlist. And I said the unit, and it was in Germany because I wanted to be a part of this new Stryker mobile gun system.
Cool.
And I go there, and we go to Kandahar, Maywan, Zari, Panjway. Zari is where Mullah Omar is from, the spiritual birthplace of the Taliban. It was a fun blast. My friends from Iraq, they'd get orders. Hey, I'm coming out Afghanistan. Send me an email. What is your advice? I said, forget everything you ever learned in Iraq.
Oh.
Yeah, man. It's totally different. We went into places where they thought we were Russian.
Oh shit! Is it just because they're so disconnected there, or what? What's
yes,
like, what's the difference?
Yes, yeah. Completely disconnected, completely tribal. The old man, the sheikh, the Mukhtar, he's in charge. Mm. His son's not going to be in charge when he dies. The next oldest guy is going to be in charge. Now you have all these different languages. You've got Farsi, Dari, and a lot of them don't even speak the same language on the other side of a mountain, and they don't even trade. Crazy. So we talk about votes. Like, can't even back in the 80s, when you see the pictures of the blonde, the secular Kandahar, I think that was before the Soviets, maybe. That was just like only its city. If you went out into the tribal areas, it was just the old man in charge, and they would meet with you and tell you, you're my guest today. If the Taliban comes here, I'll shoot them. If you come back here, I'll shoot you. I'm a farmer. Leave me the fuck alone.
That's,
and we'd have eyes on it. And most of the time they were being completely forthright. Pashtuns. Mm. Yeah. They you just left them be. But it was, you know, these people would tell you, we have time. You're going to leave. We'll be here.
Yeah.
And that's what another type of racial awakening. I keep going back to the children. You know, one of the worst things that haunts me is not losing your buddy. It's not the traumatic. It's not the Hollywood stuff of blood. Right. Although that really sucks. Agony, screaming, that's horrible. But it's the children, it's the dead children that you just find. Like, wow. What's that about? You know, that's actually someone paying somebody back for something.
Jeez.
And then in Afghanistan, that was Iraq and Afghanistan, it was the girls. They carve their faces up if they tell on Uncle Bad Touch.
No.
And so you'll see a kid, and or a girl got caught reading, and her own father, you know, poked her eye so bad that she's blind in one eye.
Fucking
hell. So she can't read.
Wow. So you're going through all this horrible stuff, this traumatic stuff. And at the time, I mean, I'm sure you weren't aware this is like there's some deeper, greater Israel shit going behind the actual ultimate agenda. But, you know, you're just a soldier. You're just doing what you're told to do, right? Because that's your job. But how did you feel about this stuff when you came out, and then all these years later, you see them do what they did with the fucking Afghanistan thing? Like, I've never been a soldier. I was still horrified to watch them just, like, give it up and be like, well, I guess we're done here. Like, and just leave all the equipment and shit. I was like, what the fuck?
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I had to watch Mosul fall live on TV. I lost a lot of friends there. My commander, Rowdy J. Inman, was killed by an Iraqi soldier, point blank, shot in the back of the head. It was an AK-47. Green on blue is what they called, or blue on green. Green on blue. But I just hated those. They were Shiites and blah, blah, whatever. But watching that incensed me, and I was like, man, I'm glad I never have to see that shit again. It really pissed me off. I was drinking back then. I'm sure I got drunk.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure I got drunk. I probably cried. But when Afghanistan fell, I'm J-woke. I'm racially awoke and aligned properly. And I thought I could just take it on the chin. I took my mother's death on the chin for several months. I thought I could take this on the chin. And I couldn't, man. I couldn't, because they were right. And because they were loading up C-17s full of people that we didn't know. And I'll tell you, there are more shady people than not shady people. The good people don't want to leave. They're farming. Yeah. They're making money. They trade with Iran. They use the Red Desert. They use gypsy caravans. Old school. Camels. And the people that desperately want to come over here, I would say at least 2 out of 10 have no problem doing anything they're told. I tell people, oh, that's a terrorist attack. You know what terrorism is? Two dudes in a city, in two cities in each state, 100 cities, with just rifles and ammo in a public place, randomly going at it. That gives you the feeling of terror. And when you have all of these invaders that are already radical against our Zionist occupied government, and then you have a streamline of just pure violence. You know, our 15-year-olds are playing Fortnite. 15-year-old kids have already got a body, or they saw their uncle put a body down in El Salvador. Their uncle stabbed a guy in the face in a fight in their front yard. They've seen death, violence, up close and personal. They're different.
Yeah.
And they're coming in, and we're like, well, we're American. Man. Get the kid off of the Lay's chips and off of Fortnite. Put him in the front yard against your average El Salvadorian 15-year-old. It's not going to be pretty. This shit worries me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it should. It worries me too, because like you just said, I mean, our kids are they enjoy a nice, safe, prosperous life. And while that's all good, it's good if it continues that way. Should it ever, you know, turn the other way, they're not going to be prepared. I mean, probably most of us aren't going to be prepared, to be honest. And I think, you know, these brown races from these places, it is savagery. I mean, it is really fucking savagery. And I mean, it's different here in the Middle East than in South America, but it's still just different kinds of savagery, you know? I mean, they're going to carve hearts out. Their ancestors are carving out fucking hearts and shit in Guatemala. And here, I mean, they're doing bakabazi and fucking just killing people for all kinds of crazy reasons. Tribal shit, you know? And this is stuff that, like, the white man, the white Aryan Caucasian should never be fucking with. Our men should have never been squandering our blood and our treasure over there. It's just a shame. It's a real shame that we have a fucking Zog that's going to send our good people over there to suffer and die and struggle for what? It just, I don't know, man. It just pisses me off. I hope that doesn't come off as disrespectful, but it's just...
No, not at all. It's for nothing. My stepchildren were here today. They know they know exactly how I feel. I explained to them why I feel this way. They're smart. They listen. I mean, they'll see interracial commercials and say, thanks, Jews. You know,
nice.
But they're like, oh my gosh, terrorism. There was this. I said, listen, we want the people who control this country want to go to war with Iran. The way to get the people who have been disenfranchised by that very government and military the last 4 years have to get on board. We need soldiers. We need white soldiers. We don't need black prep cooks and pack clerks. Everyone needs that. But combat arms are mostly not black. They're mostly white. That is the story. We actually got a talking to from some colonel. How come black soldiers don't get into combat arms? But we'll get into that in a later if you want to.
Sure.
Our country wants to go to war, terrorist attacks from Muslims uptick. Mm-hmm. This isn't the first. So there's going to be more. There's going to be more. What about that Tesla that blew up in front? Hey, even if it wasn't, they're going to say it was and link it to a Muslim. It's going to be 2018 all over again. It's going to be all through the war on terror.
I think you're right. I wanted to ask your opinion of that, too, where there's like as soon as Zog wanted us to go to war again, all of a sudden there's a ton of like commercials, military commercials trying to get white men. But for the last 10 years, they've been nothing but shitting on white men. They've been having, you know, fucking Latina, whatever, you know, CIA
two
bitch.
Moms.
And, two moms. Yeah, exactly. Gays
that was
and
a
browns.
Great commercial.
Yeah, oh, it was perfect, man. I'm sure that scared away so many good white people, which is exactly what we want. Like, don't please
it's
don't
exactly
die.
What we want.
Yeah, please don't die for
you
them.
Know. HB at Meme Waffen had a classic video I played last night. A message to white men thinking of joining the military service,
nice.
And veterans too. Like, you didn't join and say, oh, "I'm going to go do this for this tiny strip of land." I mean, people join for their own reasons. I didn't join for patriotism. When I first got in, I was a college football player. I got in trouble for steroids and lost my scholarship and was going to go to another school. And I had to pay my way, and it was out of state. My dad said, I'm not going to pay for you to go to that state, Texas. Mm. Not the University of Texas. I wasn't that good. But Texas State. San Marcos. And I said, well, fuck it, Dad. I'll just join the Army. And he said, you don't have the balls to join the Army. I joined the next day.
Oh, no. He tested you. And you're like, fuck that. Balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And, yeah, I could have – like, what's funny is when I was in high school, you know, I did the rigmarole with the Citadel, VMI. I had too many disciplinary actions for West Point from when – before I turned over my leaf and moved from the city to this country town. But I still graduated with straight A's. But if I would have went that route, I would have went the officer route. And by the time I was a specialist, I would have been a lieutenant. But I liked being enlisted. And when I got back in, I had angst. I knew I was going to Iraq. All my friends had been there, some of them killed, some of them badly injured. And I felt like that's all I trained for before 9/11. And when 9/11 hit, I was coaching, and I had this unfinished thing inside me. And I went, and hindsight is 2020. Hell, it's 2015. And it was for nothing. We didn't even get the fucking oil, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes no sense, too. That always weirded us out because, like, everybody thought in the beginning, everybody that protested this stuff when they started it with the Bush neocon wars, everybody's like, oh, no war for oil. Where's the fucking oil? You don't go conquer a country and don't take the resources. It's like half the reason you go to war in the first place. The fuck?
Man, I came back from Mosul to $5.35 a gallon gas. Like, really? A 15-month deployment for that?
Jeez. Good Lord.
My platoon leader bought a damn hybrid because he's like, shit, when I'm doing under 40 on post, it's electric. And the brake, hey, riddle me this one. If the first Ford Fusions, every time you applied the brake, it charged the battery. Also, what charges things? A rotor,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How come you can't perpetually charge an electric car as the wheels spin?
I mean, you would certainly have a decline.
Because there's no money
in the energy, yeah. But you could certainly like harvest some of the energy back off of it. I think you're supposed to, though. I believe that's part of how the alternator charges the battery, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not a mechanic, so I'm kind of a little bit guessing here. But I believe that.
I can troubleshoot a tank, but not a car.
That's cool, man. You got to get a tank someday. You got to go in these old ass tanks and like spruce it up, put your own gun system on it. That'd be cool as hell.
Man, just give me a Toyota Hilux. Hell, that's how they took Mosul.
Yeah.
The Toyota Hilux with a 50 cal. You see Iraqi tankers jumping out of an Abrams tank running from a guy in a Toyota. I'll never forget that. It's like, oh, what a feeling. Remember those commercials?
I don't.
You're old.
I don't.
Oh,
but
well, I'm older.
Toyota commercials. You got a decade on me, but I will say that, like, you're right about the Toyotas, man. Like, every time there's like a terror army or like a militia or whatever, they're always rolling in Toyotas, and they got like a whole line of these Toyotas. It's crazy.
The Hilux.
Oh yeah.
And the Conferta Hilux is pretty expensive, but bucket list. Hilux with the with a Browning 50 cal on top.
Nice. I could see it. I could see it.
You know, everyone that says, oh, you collective guys, y'all are fags. Go punch each other in the woods. Dude, you need a place to stay? I got a 50 cal and 1,600 acres. Come on, man.
That would be cool.
Come out of your apartment and come over. You know, I see people shit on dudes who like to be in collectives. I think it's great to have like-minded people that own property that you can trade with, benefit from. You can teach me a skill, I can teach you a skill, and we all have an understanding that when shit hits the fan, we know where to go together to make it work.
It's something that I think we're missing, and I do think that is the future of the pro white thing. Is that when we say IRL, I mean, we're often referring to people trying to get attention to raise awareness, but I think the true IRL future is really making these areas where it actually is a small functioning community, Mormon style, you know, and everybody takes their skills. Everybody sets up their shot. You're a blacksmith. I'm an electrician. He's a farmer. He's a, you know, on and on and on. And we come in and there's like, I don't know, a few thousand of us, and it's a small town, but it all functions as a system. And because it's a small town, everybody knows each other. You know, you get bad actors, you get nons coming in, causing trouble. Everybody just pushes them out. Just, you know, I mean, physically, you don't necessarily even have to. You just, everybody's like, nah, you just, nah. Just,
you're not wanted here. It's natural.
Yeah.
And I think people naturally want to be with their own.
Absolutely.
You know, it's the worst of the bad actor who constantly, the Jews, like, no, as white flight happens, hey, we're going to come over here and fuck up the suburbs. Oh man, the shitty hood and the inner city's all crap. Oh well, here comes the white people back out of the suburbs. We're gonna revitalize this shit that you destroyed. Now it's gentrification. Now you're raising the property value. It's like, would you rather it be a shithole or revitalize the town? I just don't get it. And that's because we're not wired the same way.
Right.
You know, how many selfies on the internet are just memes where some woman's taking a selfie and her house is squalor. Babies run around. Some shibu.
The turd in the toilet behind her. You ever see those ones? It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's my goodness. Disgusting. It's fucking gross. It's
disgusting, man. But, you know, you can tell a lot about somebody, how they keep their life. Mm. How do you keep your home? How do you keep your car? Don't give me that. Well, my car is my office. Well, clean your fucking office. How do you keep your office in?
Right.
You know, and like, I'm a little messy right now, but I just, there's certain things that'll never get out of me. Like if I open a soldier's car, because we had to inspect their car every four-day weekend, full inspection, tires, wow. You know, get in the grooves, everything, the full fucking inspection.
Yeah.
Got to have responsibility. He can walk down the streets in another country with a loaded firearm, but God forbid he just drives away at work on a four-day weekend without seven safety briefs, a counseling, and a car inspection.
Let me ask you about that. So, like, is that a really big issue in the military? Because I imagine that the way American military is done now, it's, like, excessively bureaucratic, I imagine. Is that right? Is that a correct perception?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes, you have to do a risk assessment for everything. When you turn in your physical training plan, each plan has to have, like for this day, down to the wire, everything you're doing for physical training, the risk assessments, like in Germany, it's fucking snow and ice on the ground. Slip risk assessments, you know, slippery surfaces, broken and twisted ankles. And you put all that in. And it's like that for everything. When you want to go on leave, you have to do anti-terrorism training awareness. You have to do all POV inspections. You have to have these alert rosters. You have to get special counselings. You have to show all your tickets.
Good Lord.
And you know, if you get a kid who's never shaven on time, he's never getting his hair cut, he's always out of money, you call the bank with him on the phone. And you find out where his money's going.
Mm.
Yep, I found out a kid was his parents. God bless him. This is one of the best kids. Okay, full disclosure. I found out from the other soldiers, this sweet kid was also a brony.
Oh, no.
He was 18, never been out of Iowa.
Oof.
And his parents, who, like, he was whipped his whole life really badly. He opened up to me because I didn't poke fun at him. He was one of my guys. And they were taking all his money, all of it.
Wow.
I had to tell him without being an asshole, you know, a lot of people join the army just to help take care of their family. That's admirable.
Yeah.
That's a white thing to do, right? If your family is having a hard time.
Yeah.
But they weren't like that. They were just taking his money. So I said,
taking all of it?
Yeah, man. Jeez. They were just bleeding him. So I had to sit down with this kid. We had to go to a financial planner. I said, what are you willing to give them as an allotment? You have your own life now. You had this a lot of counseling. And you're just I'm a fucking tank commander. What do I know, right? But you deal with this shit every day. Soldiers move on, and you get a new group of 18, 19-year-olds with all these new challenges. Some of them came from a gang place. This kid's never driven. You know, well, you can't be a driver in Germany because you have to have a license.
Right.
All, you know, problems with their spouses. Man, it's fun and challenging. But it is, I mean, with the bureaucracy, triple stamped, getting a range approved, you know, just to go shoot, you think it's like, well, there's a gun range. We're gonna reserve it for that day and go shoot there. As a master gunner, I was in charge of all the ammo, all the training activities, getting the land, reserving the ranges. And in Europe, you got to fight with like all the NATO countries for your training areas. They go to these big land conferences and you got to like argue over why you want it that date. You got to go back and tell the colonel you got your shit pushed in by some other colonel because you're just a staff sergeant and he has to make phone calls. And then finally you have to actually do the putting up the targetry. Everything's got to be within the standards of the technical manual. The field manual, meet the standards that are what we call required performance measures for each. You have to a certain type of engagement, whether they're long range, short range, anti-tank, anti-personnel, machine gun targets, moving targets, evasive targets, which move with an obliquity. Because that can throw you off shooting at an oblique. So, I miss it every day. And what's funny is, yeah, there's Zogbots, but most of the guys that did what I did, they make $250,000 a year just training people.
No kidding. I did not know that. I didn't know it was a high paying job like that. That's wild. It sounds hard,
the
though.
The Army,
man.
Yeah, it's, well, you have to be detail oriented. Mm. Everything is in the details. And you, like a mentor told me, when you're writing an order, when you're planning a training event, and this can go with anyone. Listen, I've planned activist events prior to being on this side of the movement. Security, security, security that don't even look anything like you. They don't have a cool T-shirt. They don't have a spicy hat. They look like fucking some guy walking, you know, with their head on their iPhone.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you can never leave gray area when you're making a plan. if you leave someone gray area, anything up for interpretation, they're not going to carry out the task or do it the way that it needs to be done. No strike against them. You have your vision. You have, you know, the goal, what task, purpose, directive. And, you know, let's say we're going to go out. We're going to take six guys. We're going to do a banner drop. We need security. If for anything, just a guy that can call 911 fast, if you're unarmed, pepper spray, whatever. I don't know what your laws are, but you have to have someone watching your back.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to know the rules. So you need to be able to brief those guys on the local rules if they're coming from out of town, out of state. Absolutely. Everyone should know everything. And egress, always having a plan. Egress, you know, if we have to get out of here, here's the rally point if we get split up. Everyone has the same number. Everyone has a watch if they drop their phone. I dropped my phone. I don't know what to, I didn't know. You got to watch.
I imagine some of the guys, like, it would be a good idea to, like, have a lawyer or some kind of, at least some kind of legal advisor and, like, you know, Sharpie marker the number somewhere on the body. So if you do get locked up, somehow separated, you at least know what number to call to get your shit sorted out there. I would imagine that's probably a good idea.
I just think that you have to – I also – now, me, I'm not like a lot of the people who do activism. I don't believe that you earn credibility by being incarcerated, because to me, for the working man, every day incarcerated is a day you're not able to provide for your family.
Yeah.
And so I think that you should always take every single precaution to avoid that at all costs. Some people, if they're a big name in a movement, they're going to get gunned for and they're going to get arrested. But I'm talking about the guy that just goes and does some activism. The regular guy who's had enough. You got to know the rules. You got to know that if you put a sticker up and it's not on private property with permission almost anywhere in America, you are committing vandalism. Mm. You got to know that when you do it.
Yeah.
And be willing to accept the consequences of a sticker.
Right.
It might just be a sticker.
Nice. Right? WLM sticker.
It might say Hail Christ the King. I mean, but yeah, I always keep props here. I got sticker packs, man. And but know that if you're accountable, you have to be accountable for that. So I'm back to bureaucracy. That really taught me how to dot my I's, cross my T's, be detail oriented, and track. When you have a plan and your D-date, okay, here's the date of this event. I know these are the things, backward planning, that I have to have accomplished for that to be able to go. And along that way, you need it, like me, red, amber, green. Red if I don't have it. Amber if it's resourced and I'm almost on it. Green if I got everything I need to go, ready to rock. And I use that in life.
Yeah.
Red, amber, green, man. Planning a family reunion. Now, I'm not walking around like, come on, honey. That's no way to live.
Right, right.
And I can even keep that part compartmentalized. And my wife just thinks I'm so organized when we go on a vacay. Hey, we're going to pull over here because I think I heard there's a barbecue place that you want. It was on Diners, Drive-Ins, or Dives. Really? No, it's my Google Maps place spot. I already have.
Well, it's good to do that, man. It's good to be that organized because you actually use your vacation time the right way. Chamber actually wanted me to ask you something. What did he say? He said, please ask Ben his opinion on the difference between Sunni Muslims, Shia Muslims, and Alawite Muslims, and any other factions he might want to mention before we get too far off the military path.
Well, to me, the Shia Muslims, not knowing their, like, I didn't get into their religious beliefs, other the differences. I knew that when you were in a Shia neighborhood, we wore Shia shemags, and they were more radical, more willing to meet you in the daytime. They were more possessive of their land. They were more strict to Muslim tenets. Sunnis had no problem having a secular government. They actually were on the run. They were fleeing Mosul because, lo and unbeknownst to us, they were moving brigades that were, when Iraqis didn't mix their soldiers. A brigade was either Shia or Sunni. And they would bring Shia brigades into the Sunni cities. Matter of fact, a Shiite Muslim is who killed my former commander, Rowdy J. Emin. His name really was Rowdy, and he was a rowdy son of a gun.
That's cool, like Rowdy Piper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, David's birth name. But they were also bigger cowards. The Sunnis would run. They would shit themselves when you caught them. In a gunfight, they would shit and piss themselves. Once they gave up, they would just be full of this defecation. Oh. And it was disgusting.
That must have been terrible trying to wrangle them and get them into some kind of custody if you had to. Oh.
But each one of them have their own way of practicing Islam. And Iraq was never a country to have those two people together. So some British dude drew a fucking map. And they've been in an eternal civil war. Mm. White Muslims, to me, have no it's kind of like the Ashkenazi Jew has no ancestral connection to Israel, no right to that land. A white Muslim has no right to Mecca, no ancestral feeling. You shouldn't have any movement. I mean, you could say, well, then why does a white Christian want to go to Jerusalem? I don't. I could, right. I couldn't care less.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
And I will tell you this, when you get into a race first mindset and you start looking at religion, I want to learn about religions because of all of the angst I see in the chats. Mm. Communication, I want to know why a guy says this about these guys or why these people say, if I don't know why you got that viewpoint. I learned a lot about Yule this year and it was great.
Yeah.
But I did learn that these people got this religion at the end of a sword. Mm. Go ahead and tell the good news. No, spread it with brutality. And it makes you wonder, you know, would those people have ever converted? No.
Yeah.
A conquered person doesn't convert their way of worship. I mean, yeah. An unconquered person.
It does make you wonder when you think of the history of Europe, because it really did kind of, like, Christianity really did kind of spread up and out. And it was through these conversions of the leadership, right? It was, you know, the emperor of Rome would convert, and now, you know, Rome, which was very much split, you know, Christian or, like, we call it pagan, but we wouldn't even think of it in those kind of terms. But they had, like, the old ways and the Christian way. And they had to try to, like, redefine Christianity a little bit to sell it to the pagan half of Rome. And, you know, this was kind of how it went throughout all of Europe, right? Like the king of England becomes Protestant, and then everybody in England's Protestant. And then he wants to divorce his wife, and they say no, or no, it was Catholic. And they wants to divorce his wife, and the Pope says, you can't do that. You can't have a divorce. That's sinful. And he goes, all right, screw you. It's the Church of England now. And, you know, so there's this whole history of this, like,
make my own rules.
Yeah. It's being intertwined with politics like that. And it's interesting about the conversion because, yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to think of a Europe that didn't.
The spread of Christianity worked side by side with the fall of the king. Mm. I like to look at it as the king had his religious advisor. Always the usurper in every cautionary tale you see during that period. Do you ever notice that? And I think there's stock in it. You know, the king is doing his kingly thing. Yes. No, yes. No. But it looks like a bishop. I don't know. Or any type of religion. The king is, this is how it's done. I rule my people. They don't have a say. Just kings started falling and falling and falling and falling.
Yeah.
And because money became an issue. Got to have money to run a kingdom.
Fight a war.
And it always goes back to the same group. You know, my youngest son, God love him, he said, you don't want to know my political philosophy. I said, yes, I do. He goes, bring back the monarchy, but not one that's inbred and retarded, one where a stronger king can challenge this king. I'm like, that's pretty based, man.
That's very based. I love that. That's awesome. That's how it should be.
Tribals. You know, I've watched a lot of Hollywood bullcrap, I'm not a, I still go on movie dates with Mrs. Tanklin.
Cool.
And I've told those people, don't you give me any crap. Movie and a dinner, treat your lady.
Damn right.
We avoid all of the, if it's, we don't watch anything with bagotry, which is hard to avoid.
Did you guys see The Order movie? Very good movie. I liked it.
I've avoided it because I don't want to get mad. I'm afraid I'll get mad.
Well, Frank's going to come on Friday. We're going to do a review of it. We're going to try to do truth versus fiction kind of assessment. I've been sitting there like basically recreating a whole new movie, like taking it apart, putting like, you know, documentary stuff in with fictional stuff. And it's going to be very cool. It's going to be a hardcore work, several days in the making.
About 3 weeks ago on his Substack, he did an episode called Who Are the Silent Brothers? Because the movie was about to be released. If that's a good one. If anyone subscribes to Frank, if you don't subscribe to Frank's Substack, you should. And I got to get his books. That's the thing. My first interaction with Frank was he was spanking my ass, man, in a space.
I never
speak in spaces. Wow. But now he retweets my stuff, and you know he's a great dude.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you learn, right?
Frank's a very level-headed guy. You know, if you mess up with him, you come right again. He'll you know you'll make good, and he'll be your friend. He's a good guy, really good guy. I forget what his Substack is. I think it's the Western Method. I think.
Yeah, the Western Method.
I know his show.
It's really
that.
Cool.
Western Method.
And it's him. He's got this cool little peaceful. Background, and it's awesome. It's long form clips. He breaks it down.
Wow, this is interesting. It changed like format. I didn't even realize that. Oh, that's cool. Oh, I see. Okay, I was just checking out what you were talking about here. Oh wow, look at that. He's got a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
I know you could do full like podcast episodes up there now. Is that, wow, that's cool.
Yeah. And you know, people, if you want to, he's not going to be around forever. He's a treasure.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. I'm going to have to catch the replay, but I'll be on. But, that's another thing. And I was asked, they're like, dude, you picked one hell of a place to start streaming. I said, man, it's the only place that works for me because during the day there are certain things. I have 7 dogs.
Oh, damn. You're like Pugler. Pugler's got 9. He's got 9 pugs. How many? What you got?
4 dachshunds, a schnoodle, a Yorkie, and a giant chihuahua that's 18 years old.
Wow.
He's a cranky old man. And
that's cool.
When I come out to do like a daytime anything, they'll come out the doggy door. There's 2 backyards like where my shop is. There's another backyard in the house, but I can hear them. And they'll come out there and do a symphony of howling. And they won't stop. You cannot outweigh a dachshund, dachshund, whatever you want to say. Yeah. I love them. They're loyal, but man, they're a pain in the butt. So, and it just worked. And it actually gave me the ability to curate my audience the way I wanted it because I don't do anything like the people before me do. Nothing.
That's good.
Nothing. That's good. I'm not, it's just not my thing. I can't do it. I couldn't call someone I've never seen in my life a name unless they gave me a reason to.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you about that. What directions are you taking with your content? I every time I've been watching, usually you're doing stuff that's either documentary or like news related stuff. Are you still taking it that direction or are you going anywhere else?
Yes. I love current events. I like showing activism clips. I also like showing these content creators like Volksview Media that do these cool edits with like a message behind it, a narration. You know who else? Sleeps No More does some cool music that has like a bass, you know, he's got that voice in the background. And of course, self-improvement. And historical revisionism, I think, is something I'll never get away from. Learn that from Flood. And I listen. You know, Flood's like E.F. Hutton, but I read between the lines. Maybe I read too much in it, but I think sometimes he's speaking to me, and I'm like, oh, shit, I better watch out. I'll even tell you, hey man, everything good? Yo, bro, what's up? I'm like, woo, you know, because straight up, I didn't know what I was doing, and I knew I wanted 4 hours. I didn't know what I was doing. 2 hours in, some people, dude, let's watch a movie. Do a movie review like so-and-so used to. Okay. And I did it. Everyone said it was great. It was Stone Cold with Brian Bosworth. Stupid movies like that. Thought it was fun. It became a habit. And Flood told me it was bullshit. And I wasn't doing anything for the white race. And he said, but you're from Oklahoma and you're a good dude. So I think you'll figure it out. And I'll tell you right now, I've watched one movie since then. But you think about it, and sometimes I think I give my best show. And if you value your show on how many people are watching, you'll drive yourself crazy. It was a full dive on Nickelodeon.
Cool. Yeah, there's some fucked up Ricky, shit in there, huh?
Ricky from Better Off Dead, you know. and I think I could have just kept going. And I really thought I did great. And I hope people liked it. And also, cool. I thought I did a good deep dive on Odyssey, the nice. Ownership. What was one? The true Manchurian candidate, J.D. Vance.
Interesting.
Breaking down hillbilly elegy and.
Oh, he's so anti-white, like, isn't he, dude? He's so anti-white.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's crazy.
He is. He's Barack Obama 2.0.
Yeah, you're right, man. Manchurian candidate is a great way to describe him.
Oh, yes. He falls right in line with everything that we're seeing. The December 25th flip of Vivek Ramaswamy. How much hair would you gonna pull out every time you watch somebody talk about how based he was?
It's insane, man. What did you think about this thing? Since we're on that topic anyway, what did you think about all this stuff recently where, like, they all went hard on this H-1B thing, telling us they're gonna bring infinite jeets into our country? And they're all up there fucking, like, validating it and telling us that, oh no, it's gonna be good, and we're all like, dude, nigger, we're not, like, this is not 2016. We know better. Come on. Like, come on. We're not going to get played again like that, you know? And unfortunately, there's still a lot of people, man, who are still, like, in the CivNat headspace that, like, oh, well, you know, like, if they're the best. So I don't care if they're the best. They belong in India. American belong in America. They belong in India. Like, leave them there. Like, if they're so great, let them fix India so it's not a shithole.
I just remind them, do you know what a caste system is?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know at a certain level of system, you're never going to leave that country because you're successful, you've attained a certain level of IQ? They plant people over here to bring in floods. I'm American born. I'm Vivek Ramaswamy, dot, dot, dot. And if you go over there, how about the Christians? We're going to go to India. Woman was in a town for 30 minutes, gang raped. Her husband stoned to death. By a mob of Hindus.
Jeez.
Codex Khajiit, man.
Yeah, we were Codex watching that the other day, dude. It's so fucked up, isn't it? Oh, my God. Yeah, it's, like, traumatic.
And I try to tell the MAGA folk, for every beaner, pardon the language, for every Hispanic invader and Congolese that Trump deports, they're going to bring in 10 people that would never, ever compete with your job.
Yeah.
And a good forecast of what some people are trying to do because they know it's coming. Our governor in Oklahoma wants to pass a law that requires a high school graduate to go to tech school, trade school, or into civil service to protect those going straight to JEETS.
Jeez.
That's crazy.
Good,
like,
Lord, dude.
Like, you must go into these fields. You have to go to these schools. Like, that's impossible to do constitutionally.
Yeah.
But what a measure to, like, you don't understand. They're not going to take your farm picking job. Mexicans already have. Nothing's changed. That's been the same way since Grapes of Wrath, man.
Right, right.
Just go to any farm. Farms in Minnesota in 2000.
Oh,
full of Mexicans.
Full of Mexicans. Hey, that's the same thing with, like, almost any kitchen of any restaurant in this country. Just absolutely everything's a Mexican restaurant. You know,
you're at a Chinese restaurant and one with the hairnets making your egg roll.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so fucked up.
I was born here.
I was born here.
It's crazy.
Hey.
Boggles of mine. And there's like, hey, we're close to I-35 here in Oklahoma. And I'm telling you, there's no reason for four Mexican restaurants in a town of 4,000 people.
Yeah.
It's got to be money laundering, man. Don't shoot me, cartel. I'm a nice guy.
You know, it makes you wonder, right? Because they're always like, justify it by like, oh, well, like, there's just not enough smart Americans. That's bullshit. And like, they could absolutely invest the money and fix our school systems and all this kind of other stuff. And they just don't. It's simply a racial replacement agenda. Nothing else explains it. No matter how you like try to, you know, take the puzzle piece and put it in another way, you always get the same answer.
How about everything he uses as like Devin Stack? He just left that tweet up for, I think, 45 minutes. On his last stream, he was just going off. Okay, Saved by the Bell. Well, go into it. I know a guy who streamed about it. It's Jewish. Mm. Everything he said that these kids are doing too much of is Jewish influence. Come on, Vivek, keep going. You want to dig a little deeper, Vivek? Let's just peel back the layers, Vivek. No, you just want to leave it on the surface, take it at face value, that Jewish subverted teenagers that are white in the suburbs watch too much TV. I agree, Vivek. Doesn't have anything to do with their IQ.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, exactly. I was just looking for that tweet. It's going to be in a runner somewhere. Let's see. He also got a great point, too, with this thing. He says, isn't it about time that you grew a pair and admitted that, yes, you did mean make America white again, MAWA, this whole time? Yeah, of course. Like, that's what everybody was longing for, is an America that was run by white people, that was predominantly white people. Like, almost all white people. And when we look at this stuff, you know, we watch these movies from like the 80s or like these, I was seeing these videos from like high schools in the 80s and shit. Holy crap, dude. Like, that's exactly what everybody wants to live in. High trust, clean, good looking, healthy.
You know, I didn't lock my doors. Yeah, try that now.
Yeah, exactly. Their shit would be going.
I'm like,
next day.
My gosh, my Ring camera's not, it's not Ring. I forget I'm not even going to say who I use. Cameras down, shit. You know, I had to put more cameras up after my name got printed. I'm like, well, that's great. But you do, it's high trust. High trust society. We don't have that anymore. I mean, when I'm walking into a freaking Buc-ee's in the state of Texas and three Pajits, I fuck my wife and then say, hello. In Texas. Now, my wife applied a certain amount of pressure to the inside of my arm here as to give me the signal of not the time or place. Because when I do go into a store, I've always got an ample amount of protection with me. And that obviously didn't require that. But if I was to get emotional, I just was like, what the fuck did you say? They turned around and, you know, that's all I had to do. But the inside of me wanted to go off.
Yeah.
Hello? You talking to me? You know.
Right.
With something on my hip that could get me in trouble. But this is Texas, man. You get your nasty eyes off of my blonde, purely pale, milk white skin wife. That woman is pure as driven snow. Yeah. And it just made me feel angry that they're dirty. Disgusting self was looking at her. When you see these streamers that do the monkey and the Omi stuff, almost every Pajit, you can already tell that dude's got his dick in his hand. It's disgusting.
Why are they so perverted, man? They are. They're like little sex monkeys, and they covet our white women so hard. It's outrageous. You ever see those ones where like the naive like white girl goes to like vacation in India and then she goes to the beach and it's like nothing but fucking like horny jeets just surround her like goddamn seagulls? Oh my god,
they
man.
Worship.
Yeah.
In front of the Taj Mahal. Ladies right. In front of the Taj Mahal and just they want to take a photograph next to a white woman. It's like, yeah, she's a goddess. She's white. She doesn't shit in the street. She doesn't eat poo. She doesn't worship cattle.
Right. Right, exactly. It's a whole nother level of being entirely. I mean, this is what I was referring to. It's just so they're so predatory by nature, especially towards our women. And
It
it's
just
why,
makes me want to set a fucking claymore off. It says
It
this,
does.
point this towards enemy. Nice
Exactly.
little convex shape.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just horrifying. And they all go like, yeah, this is crazy. It's just absolutely nuts. They're mystified. She's just so much like a goddess compared to like their whatever they got going on there. So,
Look at him touching her. Like, that's actually, in America, that's sexual assault.
Oh,
An
absolutely.
unwanted, uninvited touch is sexual assault. Read it. Unwanted, uninvited. Oh my gosh, she's in trouble.
She's in big
That
trouble.
woman, lady, run. Oh God, can you imagine the smell?
Oh,
It just
God.
smells like curry.
Oh,
Just
jeez.
curry coming out of the pores.
That's the thing about this
When,
whole,
when,
like, gene invasion, too. Like, it's bad enough that this is a reality somewhere. I don't want this happening to our women here. Like, I don't want them to go to some public event and they got, like, 50, I don't know what their fucking names are, Jopinder or whatever, like, all, like, mogging around them, grabbing up on them. Let me take a picture for my spank bank, guys. Like, no, I don't think so. Like, fuck that. Just no.
It's and when a group of white men want to protect that woman, they're racist, white supremacist, and they're the single greatest threat to our democracy. I hate that
Right.
one. But that's what you'll hear. Because look at that. That's there's none of those guys have any good intention.
No, God,
None.
no.
None of them. That poor lady is going to have a jizz count. Because all their buddies are watching the video, she's gonna have a jizz count like out of control.
Oh, that's entirely what they're
Disgusting.
doing it too for, man. They're making it for their like spank bank later, basically. It's fucking gross.
And the kissing of the hand. I showed a clip where a guy went off, got arrested, because two Pajits at a store behind the glass had a 15-year-old girl. You're pretty. Put your hand under here and let me. And they kissed her hand under the damn tray.
So
And this dude
creepy.
was going off, man. He was going off. And you had this black cop going, "You don't need to act like that, though. No, sorry, you didn't need to do all that. I just want to turn around and slap her and go to jail some more." This is, it's a struggle session. You know Bolshevism. It's the struggle session. It's every interracial ad you see. It's the happy white women, Google. It's the rewriting of whites out of his. I believe now I'm a schizo sometimes. That when I watch a classic movie like It Happened on Fifth Avenue, not a nigger in sight.
Holy
Sorry,
crap.
not a black person.
Hey,
Not a black person.
you can drop all the hard R's you want, man. No worries. This is I search it immediately. I don't even go to the image section and look what they get immediately. A big fucking
Bam.
Negro like grabbing on a pregnant white woman's stomach right there. Like
So
I even give the
happy.
image. And yeah, look at how happy she
Now
is.
show
She's
the,
just
there's no after picture where she's got two black, the old Irish sunglasses on. Did you see?
infuriating.
And she's a Jew.
Oh yeah,
And it's a
that's
Jew.
it is. It is.
Not even a white woman. It's a
Yeah.
fellow white.
Right.
Good. And
Look
oh,
at
let's, I don't want to tell you.
this is
What
too
is.
much. It's too much. But
He didn't
you're
give you shit, man. He stole that out of a display, lady.
right. I think they got called out too much for this because they started actually having some white families in here and some actual white women. But
Oh,
you
yeah, it
used
used
to
to be much worse.
Yeah, they just so many people called attention to it, but you're still getting this sort of shit. And it's like, yeah, it's like you said, man. Wait until she's got the black eye and she's a single mother later, because that's it, man. 97 out of 100, they're going to be a single mother raising that little mulatto by themselves. This is how it goes. And somehow, I don't know why we can't like warn our women out of this. It's just a testament, Ben, to like the power of the media brainwash machine. That like, if we can't get that thing in our control, they're just going to keep pumping this poison into the minds of our children.
It's they are a true diaspora over here and elsewhere in Europe, the Negro race, the and of course they have the struggle session producers. How about Cleopatra being black? How about Queen Anne being black. Right. King Henry VIII. These, the BBC producing this. God. Producing historical art. The BBC talking about the first English were Moors or and black.
Jeez, this is just so offensive. I mean, it's literal, like, historical replacement where they're just blotting out the memory of Amalek, right?
Yes, that's it. We every memory of you. So that when you look at classic movies from way back yonder, this is Queen Anne, see? Anne Boleyn, there she is. She wasn't white. That was just a trick that the white people tried to do to say that they created civilization.
Here's a good compare and contrast. The real versus the Netflix Jewish lie. That's, I mean, she couldn't be, she's white as porcelain. Like, come on, you know, she's like the whitest white.
I know.
What the fuck? Holy shit. It,
you know, at first it angered me or irritated me. Oh, no, Ariel. Well, a Caribbean mermaid's black. Okay, I can buy it. I don't give a shit. Mm. That's how I was mine. Yeah, whatever. She, Romeo and Juliet, man. Come on. Have you seen Juliet?
No, but I imagine not, she's negrified, right?
Okay, so Romeo is Tom Holland, who I believe is like Spider-Man. He's Spider-Man. He's like a young actor it's the Broadway version. And there you go. Not only is she black, come on, enlarge it. It's a struggle session.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, dude. What is this shit? Get
what light through yonder window brings? Nothing but darkness, Negro. That ain't no light through yonder window. My Atlanta, that's awful.
It's mud through yonder winter.
It's a struggle session.
Oh, it is. It is. It's fucking horrible, man. And it's like, look, like you actually kind of said about the mermaid. That's actually a good point. I don't care as much when it's like some fictional made up shit. But when they're talking about like our actual history, like Queens of England and stuff, it's like,
dude, Vikings.
Vikings. Oh, that was so fucked up. What's whiter than a Viking? Holy shit.
It's like the essential white man, the Norseman.
Yeah.
Come on.
Did you see this thing where they have like Vikings. They have all these like,
look at it.
Oh my god. It's such true a hard myth. Coat. This is ridiculous.
They were not.
Yeah, this one. Like that's the actual Vikings, and then they're gonna hide it from me. Yeah, they're gonna hide it from me. Yeah, I mean there's the actual obvious white Vikings, and then there's like this fake Negro Vikings. It's like, dude. They're not black.
Man,
they're
fucking... Netflix comes through again.
So crazy.
Even the cool Viking show, right?
Yeah.
I say cool. Episode one, the Viking man shares his wife with a Christian who was a priest, a monk. Now, even episode one, they're going to go ahead and attack this very, very, very white culture right out the gate. And Mrs. Tanklin was like, oh, yeah, I'm sure the Vikings were sharing wives. Yeah, right. Thanks, Jews. And I was just so happy. I was proud. Tom Holland is 5'5", white light, white heat, says.
that is a manly.
You know what's crazy is Tom Cruise is taller than Vladimir Zelensky. Volodymyr, my bad. Volodymyr.
Volodymyr.
Valhalla. Oh my gosh. Vikings Valhalla. Where did all these people come from? I mean, Caroline, aka Jarl. Her name is Jarl.
This is Jarl? Oh, right. Yeah.
Her name is Jarl Håkon. Håkon.
Oh, yeah, right there. Yeah, I mean.
Give me a break.
I'm sure if you looked into the Viking mythology, they would see nothing that would indicate they're black. But now what you got is you got these ones in England that are trying to like set up this whole narrative. Like it's sort of like you ever heard the foundational black American bullshit? It's like that. Oh, Lord.
Grand Canyon was like the black empire, right? These are actually, look, these are giant fortresses. Man, I know one thing. We don't know anything. We don't know shit. If there's somebody that knows what all this was a long time ago, they're not telling anyone. It's hidden. I do love to hear all the, like, I watch My Lunch Break. I love it. You ever watch My Lunch Break on YouTube?
No, what's that?
Talking about, it's all about like, you know, the civilization before us. mud floods.
Cool.
You know, the fact that there's catacombs underneath almost every one of those Gothic looking churches, but they can't rebuild that stuff.
That's cool.
And it's so I geek out on it. He started it by actually making these little narrative videos in his truck at lunch, and it's became pretty cool. And he talks all about the civilizations, and like when you look at, well, why would they do that? Like who was there first? Like you look at these old buildings, they've all burned down of a fire. They were rebuilt like by one guy who rebuilt these buildings all over these cities, according to their own records, in 2 years.
Wow.
Because they weren't really burnt down.
What
happened? They look nothing like anything we can do. They destroyed them.
Oh.
I think they destroyed the civilization that was here before what we know of as our current history.
No, I think that's true, too. I think there was some sort of lost era, for sure. I mean, we could argue in, like, research and stuff as much as we can, but we're never going to know for sure exactly what happened. Because, I mean, even, like, the Library of Alexandria and all that, it's all just been erased, you know? When you got to think about that, right? It's like a fire that erases all of this great, like, Aryan civilizational knowledge. I wonder who would have started that fire.
All those stones burning, like,
right?
You know, right. It's same with. I didn't know anything about the Dresden bombings until I lived in Germany.
Mm.
Nothing. Dresden's a beautiful place, man.
Yeah.
And I learned about the bombings from visiting Bamberg at first. And Bamberg, Dresden, it was unbelievable. And you find little bitty pockets that were untouched, and they're lauded over by the German. And you know that no matter what they outwardly say, they understand that that's a piece of the happiest, probably most prosperous, short period of time in their history. A great history.
Yeah. Well, they had 12 years not a slave, right? So that's a pretty nice little step aside of the ugliness of otherwise history.
Wonderful place. And you know, the Volksfest during fest season down in Bavaria, it's happy times. But when you learn that press was kept out for so long, and you know that we know you cannot kill an idea.
Mm. Yeah, you know, let me take it there. Let me ask you. So we've often had this discussion of, like, because a lot of people want, like, a revival of National Socialism and stuff. How would you envision that, if that could happen? How would you envision that happening in today's day and age? What do you think that would look like? Or how would that go?
It couldn't look the way that looked.
Right.
Too much has changed. I'm not a Kant guy, but like, first off, to do it constitutionally, I always say this. I've been saying this since I was a MAGA. Article 5 has to take place. Convention of the States has to take place. You have to rewrite something. Even if there's a revolution, right?
Yeah.
So what would it look like? Capitalism? No. If you're going to own a business in your community, you can't go and own the business in this guy's community or own stock in it. You can mentor him, because that's the right thing to do to make him prosperous and provide for his folk. He'll have all he ever needs, a thriving business in his community. I think there's, it's just racially, where do you go from there? Separatism? States for non-whites that aren't allowed to govern themselves, or maybe they can have their own puppet government, but it has to be approved by an ethnic European or an American. Or, well, how do you deal with that problem? What do you do with the quote-unquote natives?
Yeah, it's a good question. Because here's the thing, right? You can't ship them out because they have a fucking claim that's really forever as well.
And you know they'll function autonomously.
Yeah.
But you can't let them drink themselves. There has to be laws. No, you're not going to have alcohol.
Right.
Because biologically, you're not there yet. It's not right. No, you shouldn't have corn syrup.
Yeah.
You know, do I want an all-white America? Of course. Who doesn't? Right? Who doesn't? That's romantic. Right. Right. I love it. It's also romantic to think that I could vote for a white guy that has my worldview, or even a little bit, that even understands Jewish supremacy.
Yeah.
That's a pipe dream. Do you just sit on your hands? No. I think National Socialist ideas can drive a new type of ethnostate. I believe you can take ideas, and I mean, I believe it was the perfect, it's the perfect example to follow. But even Hitler, he had allies that were not white. He had Jews in his army. I don't want Jews in my army, and I don't want Jews in my country, see? So I don't agree with him on that. Talk about purity spiraling, right? Talk about purity spiraling. I don't want to go to Iran and hang out with the Iranian nationalists and fly a swastika with them. That's what Hitler did. I don't want to hang out with Japanese and have dinner and talk about the greater good of national socialism, of every country being national socialist, which I think is amazing. I don't want to deal with all those nods. Hitler, thank God he was not a purity spiraler, because he organized a nationalist movement in Japan that, no matter if it was real or not, the bombings that stopped the war did not break their pride in their nation, where it did almost everywhere else. The Japanese citizen has as much pride in their history and culture today that now they're embarrassed and shamed by it. But they're not self-hating at all. They're ashamed of losing. They're not ashamed of trying to conquer the Pacific.
Right.
I think you could easily, I don't like to use the word remove, you could encourage Far Eastern Asians to go build their homelands back up.
Yeah.
The diaspora of China, they would gladly return. Miles Grow, he would gladly go lead China.
Well, that's it, right, Ben? Like, the controversy comes in talking about forcing out populations, but if you incentivized it, you just simply hard incentivized it, I think you could get a good chunk of them to go on home, you know? And if we just started to kind of lean into like a pan nationalism, where if they're doing nationalism in their country, we're going to encourage it. They can't do it here. We do it here. And you don't get a fucking say, this is our place. That's your place over there. You want to do it? Go ahead, do it up in India or whatever the fuck. We just don't bring it to our house. This is our house. You do whatever you want in your house. Just keep your shit off my lawn. You know, like that.
Exactly. I want to mash my soundboard right now. Hit the nigger horns.
We need a nigger horn.
That was good. That's great. Yeah, do it there. And you know, like I said, there needs to be white separatists to work with these black groups and non-groups to do that. I don't want to take part in it, because I don't want to sit across from one and eat. I don't want to smell them. But that's because of my own experiences. You know, if someone's not detested by a black person, doesn't make them any less pro-white or like, you know, I see the precepts thrown around so much. 88 precepts. You can't agree with them all, or you're a drone, but you should take and glean what you can. And one thing, like natural law is a big thing about it, right? But something that stuck with me, now I am very hateful, but honestly, I try to be a good person. Like, I'm not going to walk up to some black kid and call them any names. If a black woman, I walk into a convenience store and there's a black woman there, I don't turn around. I got to go in there and pay for gas, or get me a nice coffee, which is bad for you. Don't do it. Get a regular coffee. And she said, good morning. Good morning, ma'am. That's right. That's right. I was taught to say ma'am to a stranger.
Right.
I don't want to be around you, and I don't want to, I'm not going to not return a courtesy, but also don't, like, I do believe that those discussions with those people that are brighter than I am.
But that's the thing too, right? Like you not like wanting to start some shit with some random, you know, black woman that you have to happen to encounter. That's not entirely about her though. Also, it's also about like, why should you take on the threat of having an engagement with some random like Negroes in the coffee shop or something when it's like that, that's only a liability for you. If anything bad goes wrong with that, you're the one that's going to get in shit, not her. And it's like, so you just being polite to her isn't even like about like being like, you know, in adoration of her or something. It's about you wanting to protect your own ass from a system that's going to blame you if something goes wrong, you know?
Yeah, and what gets you is if you put yourself around, I say, avoid the groid. I'm not scared of them. You know, those guys, the stupid Taliban have been dead since we invaded. Those are bright people, and they try to kill you every day. I'm not some glory guy. There was a lot of sitting around and bullshitting. But I'm not worried about some black guy being able to get one in on me. But if you go to where there's a group of them, and they're acting accordingly to their culture, just acting a fool, being rude to someone behind a desk, being the man in you is going to make you're going to put yourself in a situation. Come on, why don't you fucking leave that person alone? Why don't you know you're going to want to say something, you're going to do something, or it's going to slip. Why don't you fucking strip here, chuckers, get the fuck out of here. Some old school fishing hair. Listen here, tar baby.
I got the one for that. And you ever heard this one before?
You black spear chucking piece of shit, nigger!
Yes.
That's from the KKK Klansman one. That's it's an anti-white movie, but it's a good
Adam,
drop.
That's Adam Driver.
Yeah.
Yep. When he's out there running after me. Right. And, you know, so you got to know that they're going to react the way they're going to react to you and cause you to then defend your space. So then once you do that, hopefully well, you're going to then be faced with political outcomes where a DA can make it a hate crime because you engage them. You know how it works. Yeah, avoid if it's more than two, it won't do.
Well, that's
not going in.
Too, right? They fight in packs. So like if you're fighting with one of them, you can pretty much bet there's a good chance that another 2, 3, 5 of them are going to jump in if they just happen to be there. And that's a threat too. Like yeah, exactly. It's like one-on-one. I mean, you probably have a good shot at just whooping his ass, but you know, when you get fucking 5 of them on you, come on. Like what are you like the Matrix guy? He's, you know, forget it. Like, you know, it's not right.
We talk about Jewish supremacy so much about how the nepotism, right? The only pick the dean of the law school might be black, but who's telling her who to pick, right? There's a group, a board, a committee that are selecting the applicants to the law school. But you will see in these street violence acts, especially when it's black on white, which is most of the time, or you'll see some guy pumping gas and he'll just run over there and join the fracas because he sees his tribe of Africans going wild, chimping out on a victim, and he wants to join that. It's his animal instinct. You'll see strangers go in and join these fights that don't have a clue what's going on, and they'll pick out the white target and just start going bam. And we're not allowed to be tribal and protect our own, and they're doing it for no other reason than it's a black person. They will join a racial conflict. If there's two, there could be 5 blacks on 1 white dude. A stranger walks up, the average stranger, black dude, and he will join in that fray and start attacking the white man for no other reason than race.
Yep.
It's instinctual. It's you're programmed to do that as a human. When we do it, we already know the consequence of joining something to help out a fellow white man. We already know what we're getting into before we even go to it because we've been hammered and hammered and hammered not to stick up for one another, to use things like how we worship and pray to divide us, how we vote to divide us, where we live to divide us, how we cook, everything, whose sports team we like to cheer for.
Yeah.
We get all of this division, but everything else is to unite all non-whites to divide against one bad guy. the white man.
That's a good kind of pivot point to ask. So that's kind of the $6 million question if we think about it. What is the grand trigger? What is the thing we need to trigger in the white populace that kind of ruthless racial tribal loyalty? Like on the bureaucratic level that the Jew has, on the physical like warfare level that the black has, how do we get that? Because if we can find like the magic spell, like the magic, you know, race consciousness pill, like, you know, we just go around like, you know, getting all the white people, you know, that would be it. Like, that's all that's needed, because every other different issue is going to start to be taken care of as soon as everybody understands what's on the line, what has to be done, and all that will come to you as soon as you see it that way. Everybody that I talk to, like you or everybody else that understands this, we all know how things got to go to get this fixed, but there is just, you know, hundreds of millions of white people out there that are in this sort of like neoliberal fantasy, egalitarian, love everybody, la la land. How do we get past that? How do we wake them up? I try to throw this question to everybody. So you don't have to, it's the $6 million question. You probably can't answer. I don't think I can either.
It is. And how many times have you asked yourself, if the summer of love didn't wake up white America, what will it take? Now, there was a reverberating threat made during the quote unquote summer of love 2020 when they burned down a nation.
Yeah.
And also nobody was going to help. The president, the MAGA, America First, didn't use any emergency powers. You know, these leaders are so powerful. The governors are not scared to use it. But he could have said, it's a national emergency.
Yep.
And then the Constitution can get put to the side for so many things. He can lock up.
Oh.
But no.
He could have called the National Guard. He could have Insurrection Act. There's so many things he could have done to mop this mess
up.
Yep.
It's the governor's job. Well, Portland, the Antifa had over a 100-night assault on a federal courthouse where people were injured. Every night. That was federal. There was nothing happening. The mayor of Portland was out there with them. That didn't wake them up. Now, the reverberating theme that I kept hearing from these so-called community leaders of Black Lives Matter and their little CHOP and their little communities they were trying to establish was they were going to go to the rurals next. And maybe that's what it's going to take. For them to go into a town where people still pray or break bread, where the men still discuss how the cows are at coffee every fucking morning, and they sit at the same table. Those men were there when their dad sat at that table. They couldn't wait till they were old enough to be in that table. I have a table like that at our local diner. And when men like that, like I know my old community, they're very organized. They have men meet every week. When that stuff happened, there's a plan. They have numbers. And these are the guys who just live in a town. They're not white supremacists. Not at all. They probably think Israel is the promised land. They were already putting in place a way to protect our town from any kind of crap like that. Now,
yeah,
it's going to take them to follow through on their threats against the white community. They're going to have to start doing what they say they'll do and murdering in the rural areas in the suburbs. Because they've already got the cities locked down. They've perfected the art of city murder.
Right.
And if they do it in a political way, like during a summer of love, if you will, that's the only way I could see a big awakening. Other than that, we're either going to sleepwalk into our own extermination, or it's going to take acts of courage from groups of men who decide to cross a certain line and do things that may be unthinkable, that are not Fed posty, but for other people to see, why did they do that? and for those people to have a propaganda mechanism in place to explain why they did that.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I'm a peace guy, you know. But unfortunately, I think that it's going to come to the streets. Now, as far as the politicians go, they don't have control of the streets. If they lose control and it goes to the streets, that'll all take care of itself. That's what I believe. You know, it's a romantic idea. Guillotines, you know, like, I'm not promoting violence, but in some kind of fictionary Turner Diaries world where movements had enough, see, you know, it's just hard to organize. Well, you can't do anything because of terrorism.
Let me add another dimension to that, though, because I think, like, we always want to kind of compare things to, like, Germany before the 30s, right? But they had a much smaller country. Like, our country is so fucking big. It's almost like five countries, like, you know, West Coast, you know, like, West, Midwest, you know, East. You know what I mean? It's almost like five countries crammed together as one. It's so big. So how the hell do you, like if we were to have a, if we wanted to have a nationwide, like the whole of America and unite all those people, how the hell would we do that? Because people on, like, you know, the West Coast are never going to be able to hang out with people on the East Coast. Just even the time difference is a bitch. Because it's like, it's almost like we would have to do this as separate regions if it was going
to happen. I think that's the only way to do it. Plus, they have their own cultures, their own state laws that allow them to a freedom of movement, a freedom of organization, of, I don't know, just having a rally without getting the shit beat out of you by 500 communists. Or if you defend yourself, you don't get thrown in jail for it. There has to be, and I'm going to tell you this, it's not a popular opinion. None of this can happen if they don't take care of the snake at the pulpit of all these churches. And I'm not talking about mega churches. Everybody knows that the guy at the pulpit of a mega church is a snake. Half of his congregation does. They see the product in his hair and his $5,000 suit. They're not stupid. They're just keeping up with the Joneses. I'm talking about the working man who goes to his country church on Sunday and his pastor tells him that Gaza should be glass.
Yeah.
Those people have got to stop preaching poison to white Americans. They are a huge hurdle in uniting white America. The country pastor.
Yeah. No, I think so too. It's the Zionism has snuck in there, not just Zionism in the state sense, but Zionism in the sense of Jewish supremacy and their ultimate goal for really being the world leader, not leaders, but controllers, managers, owners. And the acceptance of that is just, they just take it in and just accept it as what has to happen as part of, like, the fulfilling of prophecy. And I don't think it's correct. I think it's been subverted.
Well, we like comfort. You said it at the beginning of this show, when you talked about collectivizing and in a future of people making these communities, one thing we have is private property, the ability to gain it. You don't have to buy 15 acres, and it's expensive in some places. It's not in others. You can, if you are literally as a white man, to write down all of the stuff you spend on bullshit every month. Now, look, I hate mortgages, but it's hard to come up with that kind of cash. You could eliminate and you could buy some property. However, whatever it takes, you should do whatever you can to buy property and keep that property. Amen. They can't make any more of it.
Absolutely.
Now, well, one day the government's just going to come and take away. Then you lost. Why are you even throwing a flyer?
Yeah.
Why are you even Jew, naming the Jew if they're just going to come and take away your right to do that? Why even do that, right? If they're going to take away your right to tweet about Vivek, then why do that? If they're going to, because you can, so do it. You still have the right to bear arms. Do it if you legally can.
Absolutely.
If you cannot legally own a firearm, get a muzzleloader. I don't believe.
That's cool.
Don't give me that. If you do your time, you should get your right. I don't believe in taking people's rights away unless they're in the military.
Yeah.
Because the military should not be, they should be drones.
Yeah. The fucked up thing too, Ben, is like a lot of people get that right taken away for like crimes that are just not, they're not violent crimes. It's like they sold weed when they were 25 or some stupid shit like that. You know, it's got nothing to do with actual real, like actual man crime. It's just like teenager crime. And that ain't right to take somebody's right away for the whole life for that. But I think we've had a good one here, and we're coming up on a few hours. And what do you say we wrap her on up? And I think Devin Stack is starting, so let's go watch it.
I think I'm going to go watch it, too. I'm going to go into the living room and watch it.
Nice.
I appreciate it, man. I'm feeling it. It's been a great conversation.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. I appreciate it as well.
I see the chats going. I see a lot of people that are – I see some old names and some new names. And by the way, if you watch on Odyssey – when I shit on Odyssey, I don't shit on people. I know for a fact, for some people, streams work flawlessly there. And that's where you watch them. And the first place you watch shows is usually where you watch your shows. So I miss all the people in Odyssey that don't watch me on White Pill or Goyim TV. I love you guys. But I still get in. When I get in your chat, I can't wait. I see them. I'll see them in there, and I'm always interacting with them. I might even jump in Devin's chat tonight.
Absolutely. Let's make sure we promote your channels though before we wrap her up, because we don't want to leave that hanging. You're a big pioneer with White Pill. You've gone far with it, like Flood. You guys are chugging along. You really just managed to move a lot of audience there.
It took some time. I think I had 124 viewers last night. What's funny is like I see like, you know, HT's a juggernaut. We get it. And there, he could be 2 hours before his show starts eating some pasta after a workout, and there's 800 viewers. And I'm like, man, I hit 500 for the second time in my career. And nice. But I love every 500 of them. But it is kind of funny. And I just enjoy the variety of content. I love White Pilled, and some people don't. I'm going to go ahead and say it, even though you didn't ask me. I don't believe that people should rely on – if you know that one guy isn't spreading nothing but lies, don't pick the one thing that might suit you and agree with it. And I'm talking about Floppa. That's where all the stuff that's said about the White Pilled channel comes from. Okay? It comes from him. Even to the people in the other networks, all the information they give out when they say things and attack ownership of White Pilled, it all comes from Floppa. They told me that's where they got the information. So therefore, I said my piece. But I've maintained the friendships through most of the time. And, you know, people that you guys don't even get along with. A guy lives very close to where I spend a lot of time with and knows a lot of people I know. And I kept hearing rumors that I was on a list. So I just sent him a DM. I was like, dude, I said this, and that was probably, you know, it's pretty shitty of me. I was doing a freestyle rap, and I pulled up a gun, so I'd blast him in the face. And it was just fun, but some people got upset about it. So he's like, oh, dude, you're fine. Everybody else hates him, but, you know, we don't say anything bad about one another. He does his thing, I do mine. He also knows that if he puts my name in there with my friends that I vehemently defend, I'll go nuclear on him. But never needs to come to that, because there's too much. Like I said, when you watch a stream, let's say you might watch a stream and it's 4 hours of just people being mad at each other and talking crap about other white people. During that 4 hours, white people are being murdered by brown people in our country. Maybe in your state, maybe in your city.
Maybe in your neighborhood. And
so just think, think about that and think about what's important in life. And what you, there's a book called, given a fuck, or you only get five fucks to give every day. Think about it.
Wow.
You can only give a fuck about five things that you can emotionally invest yourself in. Well, don't waste it on this guy is talking shit about this guy. Exactly. I mean, when it gets to a crazy point, you have to say something.
Right.
Don't waste it on a sports team. Don't waste it on the woman didn't get your order right. You know, I mean, like, there's real things like your family, your home, your goals that you should give a fuck about. And there's things you should not give a fuck about.
Right. That now, nigga talking shit on the internet, about, like, who cares? You don't even know shit about you. You know, he just thinks he does. It's always the case, right? They always have this big story they told themselves. It's all a bunch of fucking headcanon. Like, none of it's really true. They just think it is.
I know, like, you know, I talk a lot about concussions. I have many. And they cost a lot. They come with a huge cost. Daily maintenance in your life. You know, I probably wouldn't wear sunglasses. But, like, even my monitors are all turned down.
Mm.
My lighting's not the greatest because it just – it kills me. Light of they call it photophobia. I'm not scared of the light, but it fucks up my head.
It's a headache and stuff, right?
But this guy's like, I've had 28 concussions. And I'm like, you drunk liars, just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. Just fucking stop and go do something productive, you know? And then I just move on because I don't want to wrap my head around it, you know? But I've really enjoyed the conversation. It's midnight. I'm going to keep you all night.
Yes, sir. Let's quickly run through some of these thank yous and we'll get out of here as well. There might be some questions for you as well in here. All right. Anonymous Goy. He says, NNR and Ben, O slash you, Anonymous Goy. All right. There was another one up there too as well.
Anonymous Goy.
Boo Boo. She says, tokens. Salute to you, Boo Boo.
Boo Boo.
Boo Boo.
That's Lady Linkwaffen too. She's awesome.
She's awesome. Yeah, she's killer. J Ray 1981. He says, Happy New Year, NNR and Ben. Well, Happy New Year to you, J Ray 1981.
Happy New Year.
See you, man. Happy New Year.
And '07.
Salute to you, sir. Chain Reaction says, I already did read that one. I was asking about the Sunnis and the Shias. Thank you, Chain. Ponzi Mobile, he says, hey, old boys, thanks for the great work, NNR and Tanklin. Buy more ammo. Got a good message. He's always consistent with it. He's always hammering that drum.
Invest. Yeah,
absolutely. Henry Hand says, Ben Tanklin is one of the best guests ever in NNR. Clear-headed white man who's seen a lot.
Thank you very much.
Big respect for this guy. Greetings from Finland. Hail Ben Tanklin. We got a Finnish fan there. Very cool. Very cool.
Thank you very much. Finland.
Finland. Absolutely.
Yeah, Anonymous cool. Goy.
Anonymous Goy also says, yay, I've been called a Jew, non-white, a grifter, a snake, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, they've really rolled out. I mean, people are really too quick with them, you know, nastiness. Like, just tuck it away, you know? Like, we don't need all that. And over what? Over dumb shit most, like, 98% of the time. It's like, people gotta like, reframe this shit in their mind. You're attacking white people that you don't even really know on the internet because someone told you a story. Like, good job. Good fucking job.
Yeah, there's a guy in my chat. He goes, I ran into a guy who said he was Anonymous Goy at Aryan Freedom Fest. And I said, yeah, that was him. He goes, oh, he's fucking white. And I imagine he probably made an account.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just another place. It's no competition. Well, you know, like Nick, if you told me, if you built cars and I worked for you and I was like, man, there's not enough white car builders. We need more white car builders. And you're like, well, fucking start your own company. And I did. Right. Don't hate me for it. You told me to.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. You know, that's it in a nutshell. It's 1:02 a.m.
Absolutely. Healthy competition is white. And I was just going to say before we go, everybody make sure you follow Ben everywhere you can. On Twitter, he is at Frago Outdoors. On White Pilled, of course, at Ben Tanklin. On GTV, also, I think you got a longer name, but it's still just search Ben Tanklin. You'll find it. Very cool, man. I appreciate you coming on. It's been a good talk.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
It's been pleasure, awesome. Sir. I'd love to go back. Man, I was watching the clock because I missed Flood. I was going to be on a Flood, and I had it marked on my calendar the day after it was, and I'll never let myself forget it. All right.
Good night, sir. Appreciate it.
Seems like I do this a lot.
Take care of yourself. Good night, brother.
All right,
thanks for coming on.
Later.
All right, everyone. There goes Mr. Ben Tanklin. Like I said, do please make sure to follow him on all his different sites. You know, help promote our guy. He's our friend. One more time. Frago Outdoors. There, at Frago Outdoors on Twitter. Ben Tanklin, at Ben Tanklin on Whitepilled. And I don't know, the link is a little long for GTV, but just search Ben Franklin, you'll find Ben Tanklin, you'll find it. All right, with that, thank you everybody who supported the show. I appreciate you. We'll see you guys soon. Take care of yourselves. I'm going to go check out Devin Stack. You probably should too, because it's probably going to be good. And I'm glad he's back to his normal schedule. With that, thank you for tuning in for the short Monday show. And where's my mouse? It disappeared. No! My mouse disappeared. Okay, well, that's strange. That's weird. Maybe it died out of batteries or something here. Oh, that's strange. I just needed like one more minute to like, you know, log the show out and we'd be good. So it must be what it is. Let me just try to give it a little charge. Maybe that'll help us here. Ah, there it is. She died. The little mouse died. Okay. At least I got it. All right. That's good. What's going on here? All right. With that, big thank you to Ben Tangler for coming on. Thank you, everybody, who supported the show. We'll see you soon. Go check out Devin Stack, and good night. Good night, everybody. Good night.